So we're going to be looking at chapter 1 of Colossians. So we'll do that whole chapter and then go through chapter 2, verse 3. So if you want to get your Bibles, I did not find what page number it was. Oh, it's up there. Okay, that's good. So the days after Christmas involves taking down your Christmas trees and all your lights. It might mean a few days off work or trying to figure out how to pay for Christmas. It probably also means New Year's resolutions to diet or to get out of debt or start a new job or adventure. This is also a great time to renew our relationship with Christ. By now, you may have the Christmas blues. Christmas has a way of draining us. The parties, the shopping, church events, visits to family, and the tension that you feel. The new year, however, has a way of energizing us. New prospects, new dreams, new plans, and New Year's resolutions. Have you ever stopped to consider how backwards that all sounds? C.S. Lewis wrote, "The central Christian belief is that Christ has put us right with God and given us a fresh start. Christmas should ignite our souls with a passion for God. The new year invites us to think of new steps, new hopes and plans, including a fresh start in Christ." Paul, in his letter to Colossians, speaks of the Son of Love, meaning that Christ, in his love and power, equips us with the Holy Spirit and his freshness. Paul writes about the church and how it all starts with God. The key in the ignition of a car, the starting line of a foot race, and the blank canvas of a painter, each serves as a starting point. For a Christian, Christ is our starting point. We need to focus on him individually and as a church. What should we do to refocus our relationship with Christ? Let's look at verses 1 and 2 in Colossians now. Paul, an apostle of Christ by God's will, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints in Christ at Colossae, who are our faithful brothers, grace to you and peace from God our Father. So Colossae was a city in what is now Turkey, near the Aegean Sea, and it was like a next door neighbor to Laodicea, which is one of the churches that we see in the book of Revelation. And the church was started by a man named Epaphras, who was a disciple of Paul, and went and founded this church. So let's look at verses 3 through 8. "We always thank God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ when we pray for you, for we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of the love you have for all the saints, because of the hope received for you from heaven. You have always heard about this hope in the message of truth, the gospel which has come to you. It is bearing fruit and growing all over the world, just as it has among you since the day that you heard it and recognized God's grace in the truth. You have learned this from Epaphras, our dearly loved fellow slave. He is faithful servant of the Messiah on your behalf, and he has told us about your love in the Spirit." So one of the first things that I see that is a way that we can renew ourselves in the new year is he talks about praying. And over in these passages that we're going to look at today, you're going to see him talking about being in prayer and praying not only for ourselves and our immediate family, but here he's praying for a church that he's never been to. We can think about believers all across the world that are in difficult situations now that need our prayers so that they have the strength that they need when they need it to face the situations, you know, that come about. People all over the world being persecuted for their beliefs, and they need our prayer so that they can be strong and stand up against the day of testing. And then the other thing that I see in here is, you know, it speaks over and over in these passages about love. You know, we are to love each other in the church and other believers around the world. And that was one of the things that really set the church in the early days apart from everybody else, was that they were so loving to other people and to people that were in great needs. Back in Roman days when there were plagues and stuff, a lot of the other people would flee the town to get away from the plague. Christians were going into those situations and serving those people, sometimes at the peril of their own lives. Or babies, especially girls back in those days, were not as valued as they should have been. And a lot of times they would be abandoned on the side of the road. And Christians would go and take those children and love them and raise them as their own. So that love that we're to have through Christ really speaks to other people, and in ways that maybe if it's one thing to say, you know, you need to do this or do that for somebody, it's another thing when you show God's love to other people. It really opens up their eyes. Hey, maybe there is something to this. So we can draw closer to Christ with a consistent prayer life. When we love others with the love of Christ, we draw people to Jesus. The Holy Spirit fills us with a supernatural love. Okay, so let's look at verses 9 through 14 now. For this reason also, since the day we heard of this, we haven't stopped praying for you and asking that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing to him, bearing fruit in every good work and growing in the knowledge of God. May you be strengthened with all power, according to his glorious might, for the endurance and patience with joy, giving thanks to the Father who has enabled you to share, you know, in the saints' inheritance in the light. He has rescued us from the domain of darkness and transferred us into the kingdom of his Son that he loves. We have redemption, the forgiveness of sins in him. You know, we need to refocus our prayer life by being willing to put our faith into action, and not only serving ourselves, but serving others. That's one thing that I really love about this church, is that we've been so involved for so long, reaching out into our community, trying to share our faith with others, and just looking for opportunities to serve others in need. You know, things like adopt a family that we just finished, or a pregnancy care center that we support, or the car care clinic. You know, we do all kinds of different things, you know, just looking for opportunities to serve other people in need and show the love of Christ to them. So let's look at verses 15 and 16. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn over all creation. For everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. The first thing that I'd like to point out in this section is the word firstborn over creation. Some groups, what have you, believe that the word firstborn means that Jesus is not God, that he was a created being. That's not true. Firstborn here means first in rank. And let's look at a couple of other verses that sort of go along with this section that we just read. Scott, would you bring up the first verse, please? So everybody will be familiar with this one. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. And then the next verse, please. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. So we can see Jesus is fully God. Jesus was there at the creation of the world. God the Father, the fullness of God the Father is in Jesus. And if we want to know what God the Father is like, all we have to do is look at Jesus. Christ is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of creation. And again, firstborn doesn't refer to physical birth. It means first in rank. To know what God is like, just look at Jesus. What should we do to refocus our relationship with Christ? Let's look at verses 17 through 20. He is before all things, and by him all things hold together. He is also the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, so that he might come to have first place in everything. For God was pleased to have all of his fullness dwell in him, and through him reconcile everything to himself by making peace. So, Christ created all things, and he keeps everything working. Nothing, if Christ wasn't in control, all the atoms of the universe would explode and bomb. You know, he keeps all order in the universe. Another thing that he talks about, that Christ is the first fruits of the dead. So what is that talking about? Well, I enjoy reading a lot about different things in the Bible, and one thing that's always fascinated me is the feasts of Israel. And a lot of times you can see foreshadowings of Christ in the Old Testament through the different feasts of Israel. So there is Passover, and then there's unleavened bread, there is a feast of first fruits, there's Pentecost, there's Rosh Hashanah, there is Yom Kippur, and then there is the Feast of Tabernacles. Well, what interests me is that Jesus died on Passover. He's our Passover lamb. He was in the grave during the Feast of Unleavened Bread, and he was raised from the dead on the Feast of First Fruits. So what exactly does that mean? Well, with First Fruits, the way Israel celebrated it was, first fruits was the first harvest in the spring, and it was the barley harvest. And when the first part of the crops were just starting to become ripened, they would go, each person would go out to their farm and get the first parts of those crops that are ripening and bring it to the temple to offer it as a wave offering to God. Well, Jesus, when he rose from the dead, is our first fruits. He's our promise that one day we will be raised from the dead just as he was raised from the dead. So, excuse me, he gives us that promise of hope. And so we can know that one day we as believers will be raised from the dead just as he was. You know, and then there are Pentecost, the church was started on Pentecost. And then the three fall feasts have not been fulfilled yet, but a lot of people speculate that when he comes the second time, Rosh Hashanah, Yom Kippur, and the Feast of Tabernacles will be fulfilled during that time. So we've got exciting things to look forward to yet. So what should we do to refocus our relationship with Christ? We need to make our relationship with Christ the top priority each day with prayer and Bible study. Let's look at verses 21 to 23. Once you were alienated and hostile in your minds because of your evil actions, but now he has reconciled you by his physical body through his death to present you holy, faultless, and blameless before him. If indeed you remain grounded and steadfast in the faith and are not shifted away from the hope of the gospel that you heard, this gospel has been proclaimed in all creation under heaven, and I, Paul, have become a servant of it. So, Jesus' death on the cross and his resurrection reconciles us. When we put our faith in Jesus, when we repent of our sins and recognize that only through the death of Jesus are we made righteous, that only when we turn away from sin and put all of our hopes in him, then we're made reconciled with him. It's sort of like an image that I was given once was, we're standing before God the Father with all of our sins and everything, and the Father looks at us, and then Jesus steps in between the Father and us, and then when the Father looks, he sees Jesus' sinless perfection, and that's translated to us. And then we are sinless then. We receive the righteousness that is not due to us, but given to us because of our faith in Jesus. So what should you do to refocus your relationship with Christ? Make our relationship with Christ our top priority each day with prayer time and Bible study. If you read 3 chapters every day, you will read through the entire Bible in 1 year. If you haven't read through the entire Bible yet, why not commit to do that this year coming up in 2020? I did it a few years ago, and then I've committed to do it again this year. And there's various ways to do it. You know, I started the last time I did it and just started in Genesis and read all the way through. It took me a little over a year, but I made it through everything. But there are good Bibles out there that are like 1 year study Bibles that will, you know, take some of the Old Testament, you know, some Psalms or Proverbs and verses from the New Testament. So, because it can be a little tough sledding going through Deuteronomy and Leviticus a little bit if you're just going straight through that. But so that 1 year study Bible is really helpful. But I challenge you to think about that and do that, because you know, when you're just picking and choosing different things that you want to read, you tend to read more of the same things over and over again, but you miss a lot of the fullness that God wants us to learn about. And then things, you'll be reading something in the New Testament and you'll go, oh yeah, I remember this back here. That sort of goes along with this. And it makes it where you have a fuller understanding of everything. So let's look at verses 24 to 27. Now I rejoice in my sufferings for you, and I am completing in my flesh what is lacking in Christ's afflictions for his body, that is the church. I have become its servant according to God's administration that was given to me for you, to make God's message fully known, the mystery hidden for the ages and generations, but now revealed to his saints. God wanted to make known among the Gentiles the glorious wealth of this mystery, which is Christ in you, the hope of glory. So, You know, what's that mystery that he's talking about here? Well, that's us, that's the church. In the Old Testament, you saw small hints and everything that God would eventually open up salvation to all the Gentile nations, but he kept it hidden until after the resurrection of Jesus. And then he gave Paul that, you know, special calling to reach out to the Gentile nations around the world. And because of that and his faithfulness, we all sit here today having our sins redeemed instead of, you know, facing an eternity in hell. So God loved us enough to take the opportunity to reach all of us and share with all of us the opportunity to put our faith in him and turn away from our sins, and then not just sit here in the seats, but get out there in the community and share our faith, you know, at work, share our faith down on college campuses, you know, share our faith in the neighborhoods or with anybody that we come in contact with. That's what he wants us to do, is to be his army going out into society, sharing the love that everybody needs. So let's look at verses 28 now through 2-3. We proclaim him, warning and teaching everyone with wisdom, so that we may present mature in Christ. Present everyone mature in Christ. I labor for this, striving with his strength that works powerfully in me. For I want you to know how great a struggle I have for you and for those in Laodicea and for all those who I have not seen in person. I want their hearts to become encouraged and joined together in love, so that they may all share the riches of assured understanding and have the knowledge of God's mystery, Christ. All the treasures of wisdom and knowledge are hidden in him. So, we are to go out and proclaim Jesus everywhere, in every opportunity that we have. Each one of us has people in their lives that would listen to us that may not listen to somebody else. And when we go out praying in advance and sharing the opportunities that God opens up for us, we can influence people's lives. You know, we're going through a tumultuous period in our country's history and in world history, and the only thing that's going to make a difference to change that is us sharing the gospel with people. We can't do it politically or otherwise. We need to share the gospel, because it's with transformed hearts that are going to make the difference. And we've seen that in different times in history, in England and in earlier periods of our country, where things were going wrong and then a revival breaks out and people reach out with the love of Christ, and hundreds and thousands and millions of people become Christians because of faithful people reaching out and sharing that love with them. What our country and our world needs right now is another revival, another great awakening. And let's let it start right here at the Orchard Church. Let's each of us commit that we're going to be faithful, praying every day for our families and for our country and for other churches. And let's each of us commit that we're going to diligently study our Bible this year, so that we're not, you know, led into, you know, to false beliefs or whatever. It's only by our constant reading the Bible and study that we know what's true versus, you know, lies that are told out there. So, in conclusion, Jesus is the creator of all things. He died in our place to redeem us. He deserves first place in our lives. Creation starts with God. Praise and thank him for it. Your life starts with God. Ask God to guide it. Your church starts with God. Serve him and trust him to bless it. Make your relationship with Christ your top priority.